May only truth be spoken and only truth received.
Amen.
Please be seated. Last week, if you were here, you'll remember that Sarah shared with us in as vivid a way as she could something of the experience of her recent 40-day silent retreat amongst the Jesuits at the Ignatius Center in Guelph, Ontario. At the end of her message, Sarah invited us into a prayer practice that had us trying to imagine ourselves in the ancient Judean desert where Jesus spent 40 days fasting. This got me thinking about the story we're telling this week, culminating next Sunday with Easter, and I wondered what it would have been like to have been there. What would it smell like? What would it sound like? What would I have felt like? What would I have wondered? What would I have been thinking? And what if I was just an 8-year-old girl? The morning he arrived in our village, I had been sent to fetch water from the well. The day had started out hot, and as I made my way back across the village with a large vessel on my head and one in my arms, sweat was soaking through my garments from the inside out, and hunger was all but overtaking me. All I could think about was the loaf of bread waiting on the table. My mother had put it on the fire just before I left, and by now it should be sitting cooling, filling our house with my favorite of smells. The road was so dusty, and I knew I wouldn't be allowed inside before I had carefully swept off my sandals and my feet. So as I approached the door, I stamped off what I could of the dust before setting the water jugs at the entrance for my mother to collect. And as I was sitting on the step, finishing cleaning my feet as quickly as I could with tired arms and tired legs, two men approached and began to untie our donkey from the post right beside me. I ran inside and shouted for my mother to come quickly, but she was out behind the house and couldn't hear me. So I quickly turned back and moved towards the men, and in as respectful a voice as I could muster, I asked them why they were taking our donkey. One of them, who had obviously not seen me sitting there, spun around from putting his blanket on the back of the donkey and looked around before he looked down at me in wonder, as if it was unimaginable that the voice had come from me. I repeated the words again, in case he hadn't heard me. Why are you taking our donkey? It's the only one we have, and we haven't even ridden her yet. My voice trailing off at the end as his face turned into a scowl. The man answered, Jesus has asked us to come and get it, and to tell you that he needs it. And it will be returned to your household. And then he turned back and went back to what he was doing. I had heard of this man, Jesus. I had overheard the women talking about him on occasion at the well. They said he was a prophet and spoke about the coming of the kingdom. But I didn't know what that meant. But what could this prophet want with our donkey? And why hadn't he come and asked to borrow it himself, I wondered. I know how hard my mother had worked to buy that donkey. After my father died, she had taken in the laundry from several of the surrounding households to make enough to buy her. It had taken many moons for her to save up enough money to buy the young colt from my uncle. When she wasn't caring for me, my mother was making the temple bread and then carrying it by foot into Jerusalem each week. The donkey was going to make it possible for her to continue to make the offering while also taking on all of the extra responsibility of the laundry. She was going to use the extra money to help me get an informal yeshiva education. She was always up to her elbows in water and salt out behind her house, with endless strings of hanging laundry. It reminded me of what I imagined an ocean would look like. But this one was not blue. It was made of many shades of brown, as far as my eyes could see. Sometimes, after I was done doing my chores, I would sit in the middle underneath that brown ocean and imagine I was a fish. And I could swim as far as I like with the other fishes. But my mother's care of that endless brown ocean had led her hands to crack so badly she could no longer carry the vessels full of water from the well, which is why the job had fallen to me, even though I was only 8. So the thought of losing our donkey and how my mother would feel was what led me to do what I did next. Without thinking about what my mother would think when she came back into the house and found the vessel sitting in the doorway and me nowhere to be found, I ran to the table and broke off a piece of bread, tucked it into my tunic, and set out to follow the men in hopes that I'd be able to bring our donkey safely back home whenever this Jesus had finished with her. The two men didn't even notice I was following them. I stayed back 10 or so paces, but just as it had been when I was sitting on the step, I seemed to become invisible to them again. I listened to them talk about the journey Jesus was about to take and how they didn't understand what he meant to do once he arrived in Jerusalem, only that they knew that it was to fulfill the prophets. They seemed nervous and even a little scared about what was going to happen, but neither of them ever said so. We walked a long time. I had no real sense how long, except that the sun was well overhead of us now, and my already tired legs were all but ready to give out under me when we came to a crowd of people. As the two men entered the crowd, it parted for them like, I don't know, it just parted for them to let him pass. At the center of the gathering was a man unlike I had ever seen before. His skin was dark, like mine, but he didn't look weathered like most of the men in our village. There was a softness to his face, a gentle kindness in his complexion, unlike I'd ever seen. It glimmered in the sun. As Jesus approached the colt, she nestled her face against his chest, almost like she was greeting a long-lost friend. And as Jesus mounted her, people in the crowd began to spread their cloaks on the road before her, while others spread leafy branches like a carpet. It was as if our donkey had suddenly become a fine stallion, and her mount a king. Then suddenly a procession started in front of Jesus and they began shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And I was sure in that moment I really had seen a king. As we reached the city limits, I knew I couldn't follow him all the way into Jerusalem. By now, my mother would be worrying sick about me, and I felt assured this man's word was true. So I ran up alongside our donkey. Again, no one seemed to even notice I was there, except him. As soon as I came up beside his leg, it was as if he was expecting me, and he looked down at me with a smile that said he knew me, without ever speaking a word. I immediately pushed my hand into my tunic pocket and pulled out the bread I had been carrying, and I reached up to give it to him. He took it, and he broke it in half, and returned the broken piece into my hand. And with what in the bright sun looked like tears in his eyes, he smiled. As I walked back home eating my bread, I no longer felt tired. I couldn't wait to tell my mother about all that had happened and how her bread was helping to nourish a king who was on his way to the temple in Jerusalem and how he was going to bring in the kingdom and how our new little donkey had become a stallion and was the one that was carrying the king. May this holiest of weeks find you strengthened for the journey, open to the endless possibility the story sets out before us, and may you find your voice joining those of ages past, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heaven." Amen.
Palm Sunday by Malcolm Guite. Now to the gate of my Jerusalem, the seething holy city of my heart, the Savior comes. But will I welcome him? Oh, crowds of easy feelings make a start. They raise their hands, get caught up in the singing, and think the battle won. Too soon they'll find the challenge. The reversal he is bringing changes their tune. I know what lies behind the surface flourish that so quickly fades. Self-interest and fearful guardedness, the hardness of the heart, its barricades, and at the core, the dreadful emptiness of a perverted temple. Jesus, come, break my resistance, and make me your home.